You know, when you're playing a really intense game of Jenga and you get to that point where the entire tower is just visibly wobbling,
Oh, yeah, the worst part.
right? You're staring at it and you realize almost the whole structure, like all that weight, is resting on just one or two precarious blocks at the very bottom.
It's terrifying, but also kind of captivating, right? Because you're not just watching a tall structure, you're watching a complex system that's, well, completely defined by its fragility.
Exactly. You hold your breath because if one of those bottom blocks shifts even a fraction of an inch, the physics change and the whole thing comes down.
Yeah, every block at the top relies entirely on the stability at the bottom.
And that image, that fragile, wobbling tower, is honestly the perfect framework for understanding the incredibly dense stack of information we are unpacking for you today. So, welcome to the deep dive. This is the Great Awakening Reports, Awakening the Sleeping Giant weekly report for the week of May 4th, 2026.
Yes, welcome.
And note that the Great Awakening Report is enjoying developing these audio reviews for you, our subscribers. Our mission today is to give you an overview of the signals, patterns, and threads that are currently happening in our world.
And we're utilizing alternative perspectives here, completely bypassing mainstream news to really dig into this fascinating material.
Right. And just a quick tone check for you listening before we really get into it. We're diving into some incredibly dense, highly politically charged source material today, covers a huge variety of viewpoints.
Yeah, and we want to establish right out of the gate, we are not taking sides here. We
Exactly.
aren't endorsing the viewpoints of this content. We're just acting as your impartial, upbeat guides, you know, just extracting the core ideas and the fascinating connections from these reports exactly as they've been presented.
Perfectly said. Okay, so let's look at the base of our Jenga tower, the macro signals. The report describes our current global situation as entering a phase of, quote, managed instability.
Or compression.
Yeah, right, compression. And the single bottom block bearing the weight of the entire global energy and food structure right now, that's the Strait of Hormuz.
It is the absolute focal point. And what the report highlights is how the diplomatic pathways to secure that critical waterway have, well, they've essentially stalled out.
They really have.
It details the recent failure of those 20-hour U.S.-Iran talks in Islamabad. Iran submitted a 14-point revised proposal, which the sources characterize as basically a massive maritime wish list.
Right, like demanding an end to the US naval blockade.
Exactly. But crucially, they attached a strict one-month deadline to this framework.
And in the world of international diplomacy, I mean, a one-month deadline is basically a ticking clock. It forces a binary choice.
Yeah, it really does.
And President Trump's response to that was a flat rejection. According to the report, he studied the proposal and called it unacceptable, largely because it didn't require Iran to actually dismantle its nuclear capabilities.
Right. So instead of a diplomatic resolution, we're seeing this rapid shift into hard military posturing. I mean, Trump just announced Project Freedom, which starts Monday.
Oh, wow. What is that exactly?
It's an operation to use U.S. forces to actively escort neutral commercial ships out of those restricted waterways.
Which fundamentally changes the mechanics of engagement there, right? That narrows the margin for error so much.
Significantly.
Yeah.
Especially when you factor in the report's details on Iran's rapidly advancing military tech. I mean, the sources indicate China has agreed to provide Iran with highly advanced CM-302 anti-ship cruise missiles.
And these aren't just, you know, your standard missiles. The report specifically calls them carrier killers.
Yes.
How does a missile actually earn that kind of reputation against a modern naval fleet?
Well, it comes down to physics and radar horizons. The CM-302 is a supersonic sea-skimming missile, meaning it flies incredibly close to the surface of the ocean at, like, Mach 3 or faster.
Mach 3 right above the waves.
Exactly. And because the Earth is curved, a ship's radar literally cannot see over the horizon. A missile flying that low and that fast only pops up on radar in the final seconds before impact.
Wow.
It gives defense systems almost zero time to track and intercept. And on top of that, General Dan Kane, the head of the U.S. Joint Chiefs, signaled that Russia is also actively assisting Iran's posture.
So we have the world's most vital energy choke point, heavily militarized, basically closed off, and defended by weapons designed to exploit the very curvature of the Earth.
Yep.
This is where that Jenga tower really starts to sway, because energy doesn't just, you know, sit in a vacuum. The report outlines a full-blown fuel crisis rippling across 60 different countries right now.
It's completely systemic.
Yeah.
We're looking at nearly 200 emergency energy policies implemented globally in just 2 months.
That's staggering.
Look at Myanmar.
Yeah.
Their infrastructure is so stressed, they're using QR codes to track and limit every single fuel purchase.
Oh, man.
Sri Lanka has hard rationing, limiting cars to just 15 liters a week.
15 liters? That's barely anything.
Barely enough to run errands. And in the U.S., the report points to California as kind of the canary in the coal mine, with gas hitting $6.01 a gallon and diesel at $7.50.
But, you know, this is the part of the report that really stopped me in my tracks. It's not just about fuel for your car. The closure of the Strait of Hormuz is creating a slow-motion mathematical catastrophe for global food supplies.
Ah, yes. The fertilizer crisis.
Right. Because of fertilizer.
This is a critical causality loop that people rarely discuss. The Strait of Hormuz carries roughly one-third of the globally traded nitrogen fertilizer, specifically urea.
Right, and fertilizer is essentially solidified natural gas, right?
Exactly. It takes massive amounts of energy to produce.
Mm.
Because of the blockade, up to 60% of the Middle East's urea output is just, it's halted or stranded in ports.
And the thing is, you can't negotiate with the calendar.
No, farming is entirely dictated by seasons. The spring fertilizer application window in the Northern Hemisphere ends in June. If farmers miss that window because the supply chain is physically blocked, you don't just delay the harvest. You mathematically eliminate a massive percentage of the crop yield for the whole year.
Which is terrifying. The report notes that 70% of U.S. farmers surveyed couldn't afford all the fertilizer they needed this year because of these sky-high costs.
Yeah.
And the direct result of that, the amount of wheat being planted by U.S. farmers this spring is the lowest since record-keeping began in 1919.
Over a century ago.
Over a century. So a naval blockade on the other side of the world immediately translates into bare fields in the American Midwest.
And we also have to layer in the immense scale of the Russia-Ukraine conflict as another massive pressure point on these global resources.
Right. The report touches on that, too.
It details a staggering Russian strike package. 666 drones and missiles launched against Ukraine, with Dnipro City taking the main blow in a relentless 20-hour barrage.
666. That is just mass attrition warfare consuming resources at an unbelievable rate.
Yes. It actually prompted King Charles, during a U.S. visit, to warn Congress that unyielding resolve is needed. And Russian media immediately interpreted that as a call to prepare the West for direct war with Russia.
Okay, so we've got these massive global choke points, energy blockades, conflict. But how does that actually hit you, the listener, in your wallet?
Let's talk about the patterns.
Yes. The report seamlessly transitions from those macro signals to the micro patterns affecting our daily lives. Geopolitical energy spikes are colliding head-on with this rapid, unprecedented technological shift.
Right, what the report calls the twin superstorms, citing Mike Adams' analysis.
Yeah, I love that concept. Can you explain the twin superstorms?
It's a great way to visualize the economic compression. Think of it as a vice squeezing the middle class from both the top and the bottom simultaneously.
Okay, so what's coming from the top?
The first storm, from the top down, is the energy inflation driven by the war and supply chain breakdowns we just talked about. Basic cost of living, food, heat, transportation is skyrocketing.
Right. Everything costs more. And the bottom up.
The second storm is the tidal wave of artificial intelligence rapidly devaluing human labor, which threatens to just collapse your income.
It's a brutal 1-2 punch because we aren't just talking about chatbots writing emails anymore.
Not at all.
The report highlights how Chinese open source AI models like DeepSeek V4 and Kimi K2.6 are advancing at this breakneck speed. And Adams points to his own platform, Brightlearn.ai.
Right. That example is wild.
It didn't just help humans write. It used autonomous AI agents to write, format, and publish over 54,000 books in less than 6 months.
54,000.
I mean, how does a system even do that?
Well, it does it by removing the human bottleneck entirely. These aren't just autocomplete programs. They're systems of AI agents managing other AI agents.
Oh, like a digital assembly line.
Exactly. One agent researches the topic, passes data to a drafting agent, which hands it off to an editing agent, which sends it to a publishing API. It operates 24/7. No sleep, no fatigue.
Wow.
And the prediction in the report is that this autonomous agent architecture could eliminate 50% of traditional desk jobs in the next 2 years.
Half of all desk jobs. And when you look at the economic sentiment data they provide, the psychological toll of this vice grip is already here. A recent Gallup poll shows a record 55% of Americans feel their financial situations are actively getting worse.
Which is higher than the depths of the Great Recession.
Yes. Higher than 2008 and 2009.
And that's incredibly revealing. The 2008 crisis was fundamentally paper wealth evaporating a credit crash. Today's poll reflects a crisis of tangible resources. People feel worse now because the cost of physical survival is going up, right as the perceived value of their intellectual labor is going down.
Exactly. So with pressures coming from both the cost of living and the devaluation of human labor, how does the report suggest a regular person actually adapt to this dual front storm without feeling overwhelmed?
The report outlines a solution focused on radical, immediate decentralization.
Okay, what does that look like mechanically?
It advocates systematically stepping away from reliance on centralized digital and financial architectures. So acquiring physical precious metals like gold and silver.
Because they don't carry counterparty risk.
Right, their value isn't dependent on a bank's ledger or a functioning power grid. But beyond that, it emphasizes the absolute necessity of learning tangible physical skills.
Oh, right. Like the report mentioned welding, herbal medicine, advanced agriculture.
Exactly. Skills rooted in the physical world. Because while an AI agent can write a book in 3 seconds, it cannot fix a broken pipe, grow a tomato, or repair a diesel engine.
Right.
Building that community resilience outside the traditional economic matrix is presented as the only viable shelter.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, let's trace these threads further down. Because when extreme economic pressure builds up and regular people feel totally squeezed, that pressure naturally vents through domestic channels.
Yes, the threads of domestic friction.
It's like a pressure cooker whistle. All these extreme events, indictments, corporate collapses, security breaches, they're just the visible steam escaping from a tightly contained system, like the sudden bankruptcy of Spirit Airlines.
14,000 jobs vanished practically overnight.
Overnight. But the report doesn't frame this as just a company failing to sell tickets. It points directly to political intervention, specifically Senator Elizabeth Warren blocking Spirit's merger with JetBlue. But logically, how does a blocked merger cause instant collapse?
That's where corporate finance mechanics are fascinating. Airlines operate on massive leverage, huge debt to finance fleets. Spirit was facing headwinds. And the market knew their survival strategy, their lifeline to refinance that debt, was the JetBlue acquisition.
Ah, so when regulatory bodies stepped in and blocked it,
they severed the lifeline.
They spooked the creditors.
Instantly, the creditors realized there was no larger solvent entity coming to absorb the debt. Credit markets froze. Spirit couldn't refinance, triggering an insurmountable liquidity crisis.
Wow.
The report uses this as a stark example of how political decisions can have massive, immediate market consequences that destroy thousands of livelihoods.
It's a completely interconnected web. And speaking of domestic friction, the report dives into the highly unusual federal indictment of former FBI Director James Comey.
Over an Instagram post.
Right. Over an Instagram post showing seashells on a beach spelling out the numbers 8647.
It sounds absurd on its face, but the prosecution's logic, as the report outlines, is rooted in symbolism. 86 is well-known slang for eliminating or getting rid of something.
Right, like restaurant slang.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And 47 is interpreted as the 47th president. So the DOJ is arguing this isn't an artsy photo, it's a coded criminal threat.
Which Comey denies, stating he opposes violence. But this just highlights this hyper-vigilant environment where the boundaries between symbolic speech and credible threats are fiercely contested.
And that tension is vastly amplified by actual kinetic security breaches happening. Like the arrest of Cole Allen, this 31-year-old Caltech engineer the report calls the friendly federal assassin.
He was arrested near the White House Correspondents' Dinner, heavily armed, right?
Yes. But the fascinating detail the report zeroes in on is his manifesto. It allegedly had a kill list of top government officials, but it explicitly spared FBI Director Kash Patel.
Why focus so heavily on that one exemption?
Because it points to a much deeper complexity in our domestic security. When a highly educated engineer plans a mass casualty event, but deliberately carves out an exemption for one specific intelligence director, it suggests the motivations and affiliations are incredibly blurred.
It's hard to define who is who.
Exactly. The line between lone wolves, ideological extremists, and institutional sympathizers is almost impossible to define.
It's all about control and surveillance, which ties into one of the most concerning tech threads in the report. The impending federal mandate for impaired driving detection in all new vehicles.
The AI kill switch from the 2021 infrastructure bill.
Yes. What are the mechanics of this mandate?
It requires automakers to install passive, real-time monitoring. Not a breathalyzer. We're talking capacitive sensors in the steering wheel for grip and heart rate, plus infrared cameras tracking your eye movement and blink rate.
Wait, so the car is constantly evaluating you?
Continuously. And if the AI decides you're impaired, which could be intoxicated or just exhausted after a 14-hour shift or experiencing emotional distress, it can unilaterally prevent the vehicle from starting or safely pull it over and lock it down.
Wow. It shifts the ultimate authority of mobility.
Right. Permission to travel goes from a right to a privilege granted by an algorithm, creating massive privacy concerns.
It's a heavy picture. But, you know, the Great Awakening Report doesn't just look at the visible systems. It actively encourages subscribers to look at hidden networks and alternative histories.
Yes, the alternative perspective segment.
So, for the variety requested, let's explore this. If you're listening, remember, we're neutrally exploring these fascinating concepts exactly as presented. Let's start with Bitcoin's origins. The promise is total decentralization, right?
That's the foundational narrative.
Yeah.
But the report includes claims from the John McAfee Telegram channel challenging that. It asserts Israeli intelligence hijacked the network early on by secretly paying the salaries of roughly 60% of core developers.
Whoa. It also alleges connections to Epstein and Blockstream, right? But mechanically, Bitcoin is open source code. Anyone can look at it. How could paying developers allow a state actor to control a decentralized network?
It comes down to how open source architecture evolves. Anyone can propose a change of BIP, but only a very small, trusted group of core developers have the access keys to merge them into the official code.
Oh, I see.
If you quietly fund the majority of those gatekeepers, you don't need to hack the network. You just dictate its architectural direction from the inside while maintaining the illusion of a rebel currency.
That completely flips the script, and the report goes even bigger than digital networks. It looks at the Earth itself, the pole shift.
Ben Davidson's research.
Right. The data says the Earth's magnetic field is weakening super fast, and the magnetic North Pole is racing towards Siberia at 37 miles per year. What is physically driving that?
Think of Earth as a giant electrical dynamo. The field isn't a solid magnet. It's generated by churning convection currents of molten iron in the outer core.
Like an electric motor.
Exactly. And the data suggests those fluid dynamics are changing. The motor is losing alignment. The report connects this to unusual seismic activity, specifically a rare 4.0 magnitude earthquake in the ancient New Madrid fault zone in Missouri.
Wow. So the shifting magnetic field warps the crust, potentially triggering earthquakes. That is mind-bending. But my absolute favorite part of this section, the architectural mystery of Tartaria and the star forts.
Hugh Newman's research on the megaliths and star forts.
Yes. The viral theory that there are over 1,000 identical, geometrically precise star forts on every continent. And the report argues the official narrative that European colonizers built them independently falls apart.
The math and geography. These forts use incredibly advanced geometry, intricate bastions with perfect enfilading fire, no blind spots. Yet, pristine star forts are found in remote parts of Asia and Africa that were supposedly never colonized by the Europeans who designed them.
So the theory is, they are nodes on a worldwide grid built by a single forgotten global empire called Tartaria. Whether looking at the code of Bitcoin or the identical geometry of ancient star forts across different continents, what does our human fascination with these hidden networks reveal about our desire to find order and meaning in history?
I think it reveals a profound instinct that surface-level narratives are often incomplete. When we see immense complexity, we instinctively seek the unifying mechanism. Exploring these alternative perspectives, exactly as the report presents them, prevents our thinking from becoming rigid. It forces us to ask deeper questions about reality.
It keeps us curious. We've covered a massive amount of ground today. As we wrap up this deep dive into the week's events, what is the final thought you want the listener to take away?
If there's one ultimate synthesis to draw, it's this. We are living in a moment of profound convergence. In a world where everything from the Strait of Hormuz to the magnetic poles of the Earth seems to be shifting simultaneously, perhaps the greatest survival skill of the future isn't just stockpiling resources. It's the mental agility to unlearn what we think we know and adapt to entirely new paradigms.
Mental agility. Because when that Jenga tower is swaying, the people who survive are the ones figuring out where to build next. The Great Awakening Report is enjoying developing these audio reviews for you, our subscribers, and we want to thank you for joining us on this incredible journey through the week's intelligence. We leave you with gratitude, discernment, and patience.